Thanks for that reading, Emily. So, why do people share stuff online about coronavirus that's simply not true? Don't know if you've noticed that this week on your social media posts, but I've certainly noticed it on my wall. I think it's because everyone's looking for hope. Everyone wants an answer. And sometimes when we're so desperate for that hope, we'll grasp at anything. Coronavirus has exposed our deepest fears and our biggest needs. We hope to save ourselves, and so we will just pick up on anything that seems positive. Some of the things I've seen this week include gargling regularly, drinking spirits, inhaling steam, and keeping hydrated. Well, none of those offer real hope. If they were real, don't you think the NHS would have been suggesting we all do that? But as it is, we're in the midst of a crisis where hundreds in this country are dying and thousands across the world. Those homespun remedies bring false hope. What we need to do is simple. It's to stay at home. It's to wash our hands and not to get too close to people. Magazines also have lots of things about the way we could get the perfect body in three easy steps. And of course, those are the kind of magazines that sell. And then we find out that the steps aren't that easy after all. It's hard work eating a calorie-restricted diet and going to the gym all the time. Or maybe we're after a particular lifestyle and those buy now, pay later offers seem really, really good. The problem is you still have to pay. And on a buy now, pay later scheme, it's crises such as we find ourselves in at the moment that make that paying later even more difficult and even more scary than it was before. So when we look at the Bible story that's been read today of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, it says that it was done to fulfill what the prophet Zechariah had promised. Zechariah knew that the Israelites would come back from exile, and at that point they would have a new king who would reign. But the thing is that as he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, he is riding and proclaiming that he is a victorious king. But all of that symbolism fit with what people really wanted to hear at that time. They were oppressed by Roman occupation. They wanted to make Israel great again. And here they were. Here is our new king. Hosanna to the Son of David. This kind of thing had happened before and would happen again. It happened in 167 BC with Judas Maccabeus. He led a revolt against the Seleucids, who were occupying Israel at that time. It was a successful rebellion. But the thing was that he needed help from the Roman Empire to win. That help would lead to Roman occupation. You see, quick wins aren't always a win. They just move the problem further down the road. We think we know what we want. This week, as we've looked at the news, we know we need more protective equipment and we need more ventilators. And it would seem that we could make them like that very quickly. Except, of course, manufacturing has to be turned around. And everyone in the world is looking for the same things. We can't simply have it now because it just can't be made fast enough. But that is what, in our natural state, we want. We want what we want and we want it now. So back to the story. There they were. The king is riding in. They're shouting. They're waving those palm branches. And yet the crowd are saying, who is this? It's kind of like they weren't bothered that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. They were just happy that they were going to get a king. The thing is, Jesus was a king like no other king. He had come to sort out the problems, but he didn't go to the Romans. He went to the temple. And when he got to the temple, he turned over the money changers' tables and he drove corruption out of the temple. He then healed the blind and the lame, and the children were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna," while the chief priests and the teachers of the law were completely indignant to what he was doing. They just didn't understand, and they looked down their noses at what Jesus was suggesting. That's because the problem is that religion offers false hope. Basically, religion says, these are the rules, follow them and you're going to be okay. But if you don't, well, woe betide you. But there is great news out of this story, and that is that Jesus offers real hope. He really is the king who's come to set each one of us free. He really did deal with guilt and shame and wiped it all away as he took all of the punishment on the cross. And he healed our broken relationships with God, that we can be God's family once again. So today, Jesus is asking all of us a question. And it's simply this. Will you put your hope in me? So what does that look like? How do we put our hope in Jesus? Well, I think at this time, the church has to learn how to be church again and shake off the religious power that it clings to so often and has come to expect. There were 332 views of my message last week. I usually get 70 people in the church. Why only so few when so many people are tuning in to listen? I think as church we need to think differently. The word repentance means to change the way we think, to change our minds. And we need to repent. We need to look at ourselves. We need to consider how we bring this message of hope, the hope that only Jesus can bring to people in a world that is crying out for hope. We need to recognise there are hundreds of people who aren't coming to the church, but are still looking for a message of hope. And why aren't they coming? I think, again, we have to look at ourselves. We have to say, we've got to do more than we've always done. We've got to change the way we do it. We've got to think again about what it is to be church. That our church gathered should be about equipping one another. But the church scattered is where the power is, in my life and in your life. And to have the faith to live out the life that Jesus wants us to live in full view of everyone else. So what does that look like for you? Well, maybe today you need to repent. Maybe you need to change your mind about God, about Jesus and about his church. Maybe you need to think again and recognise that God really does love you. Yes, you. He's not like some nasty old man in the sky who's waiting for you to trip or make a mistake so that he can punish you. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's for you. If he had a fridge, your picture would be on it. He loves you. Maybe you need to get that into your mind today. Or maybe you kind of get the big God picture, but you're not so sure about Jesus. Maybe you need to look to him to find the hope that you're looking for. Many of us put our trust in other things. I think this time is telling us that some of the things we put our trust in simply can't be trusted. You know, for all the money in the world, you couldn't get toilet rolls 2 weeks ago. For all the money in the world, you can't buy health. For all the money in the world, to be happy, you just need a little bit more. But Jesus offers hope because he offers an eternal perspective, something beyond the immediate into the eternal, something that will last forever. Or maybe you need to consider again and repent of your attitudes to the church, to think differently about the church. After all, the church at its best is a bunch of imperfect people doing the best to live as the family of God and to bring and to share that hope with all that they know. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we could be criticized, but we are who we are, and we know that we're not perfect. But I just want to invite you today to put your hope in Jesus and to see a difference in your life. So let's just pause for a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak, and then I'll pray. Loving God, we thank you for the hope that Jesus brings. I pray for our world at this time. Lord, we pray for all the scientists who are working to bring about a solution to this virus, to bring a vaccine. And we pray for the work that's going on there. We pray for the health services across the world, for those doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants and carers in the front line who are working to keep people healthy, to help people recover and to minimise the horrendous death toll that we hear about on the news. We thank you for all those people who are pulling together to help one another, to go shopping for the vulnerable, to provide food banks and other ways to help those in most need. We thank you for all the practical things that we can do. But Lord, we recognize that the eternal hope, the hope for the future and beyond, lies in Jesus. That he truly is a king who comes to reign. And we pray today, Father God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we imagine heaven and we imagine how great that place is. And we say, Lord, make the earth more like heaven. Bring your glory and bring your hope. In Jesus' name, amen.